It's ringing in my ears even today. I can still hear my mother yelling at me from the kitchen, "Harry, go practice the piano." I usually like to practice the piano, but there was so much repetition in the practice that I got very tired of it. Of course, it was the repetition that eventually led me to the joy of playing a Mozart sonata or a Bach prelude. It was the repetition that helped me through the alphabet. And it was repetition that helped me learn the multiplication table. And it got me through Latin class and German and French. It was repetition that helped me learn the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm and a number of hymn verses. I guess what I'm saying is that although repetition can be annoying sometimes, it's also a basic principle of learning and remembering and growing. Amen? And I suppose that's why God used repetition in the Bible. That's right. The Bible is full of repetition. Even large chunks of text in the Bible might appear in a variety of places. Just think about the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why did God have so much repetition in the Gospels? I had some thoughts about that. I think three of them. The first one is Jesus Christ is the most important person of history, and I think that he deserved the repetition that we read in those Gospel accounts. And number two, in Deuteronomy, God's law said that you need two or three witnesses for legal testimonies. Well, in the New Testament, God gave us more than two or three through the apostles who told us all about Jesus. It gives us a very reliable portrait of who Jesus Christ was and what Jesus Christ did. And the third thought that I have was that through the gospel accounts, God told us the greatest story that's ever been told from different perspectives. Repetition. The Bible's full of repetition, and there are many, many other examples. The Ten Commandments are repeated in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. Well, they're critically important, aren't they? And the history of the patriarchs in the Old Testament, you can read about in various places. And there are also phrases in the Bible that appear over and over, and we read them and sing them over and over. Repetition in the Bible was not by accident. I believe God designed it that way. Now, there is a common complaint among seasoned churchgoers. Translation, older people. I've heard it right here. And in fact, I'm guilty of it myself. And that complaint has to do with modern worship songs being so repetitive. People complain about that quite a bit. I suspect most of you have heard the Christian slang that modern worship songs can be like 7-Eleven, the same seven words repeated 11 times. That's not a compliment. That's a complaint. Is it justified? In many respects, I believe it is. But in some respects, I believe it may not be. And to prove my point, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 136. Now, I know most of you don't bring your Bibles here. Therefore, I reproduce Psalm 136 for you on the insert. And I want you to take it out because we are going to read it together out loud. And I'm going to read one phrase, and then I'm going to ask you to read the next phrase. All right? Are you ready? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone does great wonders. Who by His understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights. The sun to govern the day. The moon and the stars to govern the night. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them. What a mighty hand and outstretched arm. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To Him who led His people through the desert, who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance, an inheritance to His servant Israel, to the one who remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies, and who gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Excuse me, could you repeat that? Talk about repetition. That psalm, that song, beats any 7-Eleven song I've ever heard. God must like repetition sometimes. Correction. God must love repetition sometimes. It helps us learn. It helps us remember. It helps us grow. And this psalm's intent, the focus of Psalm 136, is to lead God's people to give Him thanks over and over and over and over. Now, I want to draw attention to some words of Jesus Christ from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Now, you may know that verse from the King James Version, which says this, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard by much speaking." And here is the same verse in the English Standard Version. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words." That teaching from Jesus Christ is not a condemnation of repetition. That teaching is a condemnation of repeatedly just going through the motions. I almost stopped you as we were reading Psalm 136 because it became so sing-songy as I stood here listening to you. His love endures forever. His love, and how long do I have to say this? His love endures forever. I think that's what Jesus did not like. It's like saying familiar words without meaning them. It's like singing familiar words without meaning them. It's like offering thanks to God without a deep feeling of gratitude in your heart. Every one of us has been guilty at one time or another of these kinds of things. We have come before our Heavenly Father with vain repetitions, with empty phrases, with babbling to Him like a baby who just loves to hear the sounds of our own voices. And that's one of the problems with repetition. It can become so mechanical, it can become so habitual, when God hears thanks from your lips, He's really listening to your heart. Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You know, as I talk about this, I have just so many convictions flowing over me in my life. I haven't counted how many years I've stood on the platform before congregations, and I wonder how many times I have been guilty of these things. And that's why today, I'm not bragging, I'm sharing, okay? I make it a point in our worship service just to think about what I'm saying when I recite the Apostles' Creed. I don't say He was crucified, dead, and buried with the same inflection that I say He rose again from the dead. I honestly do not listen to you when you recite the Apostles' Creed, and I don't know whether you are sincere in your heart or not when you do it, but God does. He's listening to your heart. And the same way with the Lord's Prayer, when I repeat the Lord's Prayer, I do not say, deliver us from evil. The same way I say, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I want my head and my heart to connect when I worship God. And I want that for you too. I want my lips to profess and to pray with joy before God and with integrity and with honesty without just going through the motions. And I want that for you as well. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. In this wonderful season of thanksgiving, are you truly giving God thanks from the depths of your heart? Or are you just going through the motions? Here is a passage in 2 Timothy that I believe you know, but there is a word in this passage tucked away in this scripture that I frankly did not realize was there. I haven't seen it for a long time. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. I think you'll recognize it. Paul said, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud. You remember this scripture? You've heard this scripture before? The list goes on for quite a while. Let me continue reading it until I get to that word that I've glossed over many times. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. Did you remember that that word is there? There are lots of other words there too. And they all relate to one another. It would be a disservice not to read the entire passage and how these words relate. Listen, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. What a terrible condemnation on the empty hearts of mankind in the last times. And all of those condemning words are summed up in verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. if we just mumble through repetitive words in worship, we exhibit a form of godliness, but we're denying its power. You know, as I went through the list in 2 Timothy 3, slowly and thoughtfully and prayerfully, and I searched my own heart, I realized that I have been guilty of a number of things in that list. I'm not going to tell you which ones or how many have shamed me, but I encourage you to do the same thing. More homework. I encourage you to do the same thing, to reverently, slowly, thoughtfully, prayerfully go through that list and say, God, search my heart and know my thoughts. I never thought of myself as being ungrateful to God until I remembered James chapter 2, verse 10, which says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles on just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. So you see, you and I are often more guilty than we realize. I want to share with you a quote from Desmond Tutu. Desmond Tutu won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1984. He was only the second black man to win that prize. And in 1986, he was elected as the Archbishop of Cape Town, which is the highest position in the Anglican Church of South Africa. And he was internationally recognized for his integrity of Christian leadership. And this is what he wrote. I have thought that perhaps this gospel story points to a deeper leprosy in the spirit, the leprosy of ingratitude. To be unthankful, to be unappreciative, is in fact to be diseased. To cleanse our spirits of depression, of self-pity, and other forms of spiritual leprosy, we have to be thankful, appreciative persons. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. When we read through Psalm 136 earlier, I suspect that many of us missed the content because we were so wrapped up and focused on the uniqueness of the repeated phrase. Well, I want to read the contents of Psalm 136 to you without the repeated phrases. And I want you to remember that this psalm was written to remind the Hebrews of all the things that they had to give God thanks for, but I want you to listen to it as if it is for you personally today and God's grace in your life today. Listen, give thanks to the Lord, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, to Him who alone does great wonders, who by His understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and the stars to govern the night, to Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Egypt out from among them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, to Him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, to Him who led His people through the desert, who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon king of the Amorites and Og king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance to His servant Israel, to the One who remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies, and who gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Someone said this, wise men only wonder once, and that is always. I want to turn it around this way. Wise men only give thanks once. And that is always. Fools, on the other hand, never wonder. They never wonder because they're fools. They see the beauty all around them as being for their pleasure, without turning to God and granting to Him the praise and thanksgiving and adoration that He deserves for all of that beauty. They're never grateful to Him. Oh, brothers and sisters, remember that everything that came from heaven was done for you. Be filled with wonder and give God thanks always. His love endures forever. Harry, could you repeat that? His love endures forever. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we fall on our faces in thanksgiving and adoration for You. And I pray, God, that You will be pleased with our praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.